Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, oh man, Corey Majors. And of course, the famous Alec Medford. And right now, we're going to do some NFL overreaction or reality. Overreaction or reality. And I think I know Corey's answer to this because you've made reference to it before. Overreaction or reality. You want to give George Pickens a long-term extension.
Did you hear Ross Tucker this morning? I want to throw this back out there. I thought he was phenomenal. I think he's a really fun guest.
I like him too.
He's in touch with what's going on there, but he was like,
is he still creating the newspapers for people?
I don't know about that. But he didn't mention it. That's the only reason I don't know. But he was like, he's somebody you want to date but not marry. And he said, you want to do a short-term contract with, like, ironclad if he gets suspended type stuff in it. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting, actually. I think Pickens is playing exactly the way you should play in a contract season.
Totally agree.
And, Kevin, there's always, let's go ahead and throw it out there, the three motivating factors for athletes.
Do you need to make a chart for this one?
I don't think I need to make a chart. Okay. I've been saying this for years. Contract season, revenge, and fun babies. Because babies are expensive. And this is one of those situations. Every athlete should play at their best in a contract season. He knows what's at stake. He knows that, like, you should play your best all the time. More likely, you're going to get extra for contract season. You know what? For 1 year, I have to make sure I don't eat junk, or I don't do this, or I don't do that. All these things. So I want to keep him around.
Okay.
To go along, to compliment CeeDee Lamb. I like that thing. I don't really want to spend the money.
So, Alec, I want to go to you, but I just want to say, and maybe this is a conversation for another day, I think putting the franchise tag on him would be a mistake.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you.
Alec, overreaction or reality, you want to give George Pickens a long-term extension.
Yeah, I'm on the choppy train here of why wasn't this done 2 weeks ago at this point. You've seen enough. You really have. And the price is only going to go up the way that this team decides to go about business, putting things off, using the tag as a placeholder. You know, just wait for another wide receiver two to get wide receiver one money. Then what happens? The price goes up. So I'd rather just get it out of the way now. And I do think that's a luxury that not many teams in the NFL have. So I think it would just personally, it would be cool to say, you've got two legit wide receiver ones on this team that are here for the foreseeable future. I would like it. I think it should have been done by now. I know it wasn't going to, and I know it won't happen until the offseason. But yes, get it done yesterday.
Now, my bonus question, spicier. All things being equal, overreaction or reality, you'd rather have George Pickens than CeeDee Lamb?
No.
Ooh, you answered that very quickly.
Well, and
probably because
of
the aforementioned reason.
And this is I definitely do this a lot. CeeDee Lamb's our guy.
Yeah.
You drafted him, you've invested in him, you've had him. He's our guy. And George Pickens was an addition that you went out and got. It's like a rental in my mind, but he's established that he's a reason that you're here. You're where you are offensively. But I'm not willing to move on from CeeDee Lamb. I am a little concerned about what happened Monday.
Yeah.
Very concerned about what happened Monday. Hopefully that's a learning moment and it doesn't happen again. But and I don't know who was the one that was like, hey, let's go do this. You know, I'm very curious right. about that, the influence those two have on each other. I love their friendship. I think it's good. But I don't want one for the other.
Alec overreaction to reality bonus. All things being equal, you would rather have George Pickens than CeeDee Lamb.
Overreaction. Yeah.
Oh. I wonder how many people don't think that's an overreaction.
There are people out there. I know for sure. I can't give you a percentage, but just the circulation during the Monday Night Football game on Twitter, like it seemed like there was at least every time I refreshed the timeline, there was at least one person that was saying, there's your true wide receiver one, you know, and the reason CeeDee Lamb doesn't look like he's having fun is because he just realized he's wide receiver two. And it's like, all right, what are we doing here? But yeah, I think that CeeDee has a bigger skill set. He's a better route runner. I think that he might not be as physical as a pass catcher, but I think he is just as talented of a pass catcher. I think he has the intangibles that George Pickens has been knocked for in the past, especially when we realized he was available for trade. People are like, oh yeah, the nine route, that's about it, you know, and he started to pick up more things here in Dallas, but he's still not as complete of a receiver, and CeeDee Lamb has been relatively healthy most of his career on top of that. So the fact that you have the veteran experience, a bigger skill set, and health, I would rather have CeeDee 10 times out of 10.
I really want to know your answer. Usually,
that's an overreaction.
Okay.
So I'm with you. I'm just surprised because you've heard so much buzz of people saying that. And by the way, I don't think there's any scenario in which you get rid of CeeDee Lamb. Like to me, and I see people bringing that up, that's a non-starter. That's not going to happen for a couple of different reasons. So the scenario is you keep George Pickens on the franchise tag, which I think is a huge mistake. You give him a long-term deal, or he moves on down the road.
Mm-hmm. I
think CeeDee Lamb's better.
Also, I do love the compliment. I still do love the compliment of the two of them.
For sure.
And in my mind, Pickens is like Mike Evans. I heard Choppy say Plaxico Burress the other day, and I was like, oh, that's a good comp too. And then or somebody said A.J. Green. I was like, that's beautiful. I love it. And then CeeDee Lamb, for me, is like a Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne type.
I got you.
And they do different things that also Dak can take advantage of.
No, and I agree. And I don't think for the Cowboys it has to be an either or. This was more of a fun radio question, which sometimes you get in NFL overreaction or reality. This is not just a fun overreaction or reality question. This is based in real life. According to Charles Robinson, you go back a little ways, the Eagles were willing to give up as many as 3 first-round picks for Myles Garrett. There's another article out saying, hey, this is what the Eagles would have to trade to get Myles Garrett, blah, blah, blah. And I can walk you through the finances if you care. Overreaction or reality, the Eagles would and should trade 3 first-round picks for Myles Garrett. Now, to go along with this, and this is why it's relevant to interesting. Do you know what they would inherit as a contract for him? 5 years, $102 million total.
Flat, huh?
So,
wow.
$20.4 million per year.
That's a great deal.
And that's why you'd need to give 3, because not only is he great, but Cleveland
getting extra,
would be taking a ginormous salary cap.
And Cleveland is constantly rebuilding. Like they've never had a quarterback, you know, and they're just constantly trying to. They're like, all right, let's rebuild around Dylan Gabriel. Next week, let's rebuild around Shador. Let's figure it out, guys. You know, like that. So they need the picks, so they're okay with it. But this is as just any football person in general. Yes, if Philadelphia has them, they should do it.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys had them, they should do it.
Okay.
Go get Myles Garrett. You add him to this thing. I would hate it. I would hate to see him in that uniform. I think he'd hate it, honestly. I think he'd be like, this is ridiculous. I love the Cowboys. You know, I think that's where he's wanted to be in Dallas forever. So I think that would be a very Howie Roseman type move, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Alec, overreaction or reality, the Eagles would and should trade 3 first-round picks for Myles Garrett.
Reality, they would, because Howie Roseman is a maniac.
Yeah.
He's absolutely insane in all of the best ways. And like Corey said, I want to say on Monday, no matter what they do, they still have assets somehow, it feels like. So they could literally give up their top pick for 3 years straight, and they're still going to go draft a five-time All-Pro in the second round. You know, it's absurd how good they are at scouting talent, but they are that close as well. I do think that there are some fundamental things wrong with that team. You know, the Jalen Hurts stuff is very real. I think people are very annoyed by him up there. And I do think the offense is just kind of mediocre. Corey, refer to the chart.
Oh,
yeah.
I think their offense is not that great still. But, hey, make your defense a superpower. And if you score 10 points, that's cool. You're only giving up three.
I don't want to put too much strain on Corey, but I think a chart for each opponent would be really funny. Like a different base chart every single week. Overreaction or reality? It's painfully obvious that the Vikings should have taken Bo Nix over J.J. McCarthy.
Overreaction.
Ooh.
I think Bo Nix is a product of Sean Payton.
Okay.
I think Bo Nix is good. Physically, you know, can run. He can do a lot of things. But I think Sean Payton was like, I will mold this quarterback into this. As good as Drew Brees was, he was better because he was with Sean Payton.
I think
Sean Payton's that good. I really do. Now, other things, different story, but I think that he's that talented. And I think Kevin O'Connell's a phenomenal quarterback coach and head coach. I think he's doing a great job there. But I think that Sean Payton is a step above when it comes to that. And just having worked with Drew Brees and seeing how they were able to make things so simple but also so complicated at the same time, the way they run their offense. J.J. McCarthy, is Kevin, the question mark's still there.
I got you.
You know, I'm interested. If the Broncos had J.J. McCarthy, where would they be? And I think that Sean Payton does a very good job.
Alec, what say you, NFL overreaction or reality? It is painfully obvious that the Vikings should have taken Bo Nix over J.J. McCarthy.
I'm going to be a little unfair and say reality, because I do think the inverse of what Corey is thinking, because I think that, yes, Bo Nix is a product of Sean Payton right now, but I think he could be a product of Kevin O'Connell too. I just think that highly of Kevin O'Connell's work with quarterbacks and his newer style of offense that he runs there in Minnesota, I think would benefit a guy like Bo Nix. But at the same time, I say it's unfair because I've been saying if J.J. McCarthy was ever going to be a first-round quarterback, there was one place that he would ever work out, and that would be in Minnesota. So I do think he's in the perfect spot.
I gotcha.
But it's just not working right now, which is okay. It's technically his rookie year, even though it's not. It's his first year play. He doesn't have a full season under his belt. So it's unfair, but I do think he's in the perfect spot. So I still would rather have Bo Nix in that system.
I'm excited to see Elle's opinion on this one.
Somebody asked Kevin when Dre May was taken. And in that 24 draft, he was taken third overall at that spot. So that was Caleb, Jaden, Drake, Penix, JJ, and Bonet. Good gosh, dude. Spencer Rattler was drafted.
Well,
Joe Milton was in that draft.
Oh, hey, all right.
We got one.
NFL overreaction to reality. I'm so excited to get your answer to this. Mike McDaniel will be the Miami Dolphins head coach to start the 2026 season.
Did you see, bro, in the press conference ask a question? He went and sat in a press conference and asked a question.
They have gone from 1-6 to 4-7.
Didn't this happen with the Boogeyman when they were down like 0-8 or something, and then all of a sudden they reeled off 8 straight games and then he got fired? You were like, he just put on a clinic on how to come back after you tried to tell him to blow it all.
And then he filed a lawsuit.
Yeah.
So they have to have learned their lesson from that, I wonder.
Although,
good luck, Mike McDaniel, on your lawsuit. That's not going to work.
I don't know.
You got to pick a side.
Then I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that's an overreaction because there's going to be a new GM that rolls in there and says, I want to do it my way. And I think a lot of owners, the tradition is GM and coach go hand in hand. Now, the Giants have stepped against that grain, right? Where they've said, no, we're keeping our GM. We've moved on from the coach.
Right.
But I think that's going to be something that sticks together. And a lot of what's really interesting, if there have been coaches that have said, if you want to hire me, I want this person as my GM. And that's a pretty unique situation. You look at San Francisco, and it's worked out pretty well for them.
Alec, what say you?
I'm going to go reality here. I do think that he is still going to be the head coach. If he gets fired, it will be during next season. I do think it is going to be the owner who goes to bat for him in the GM search and says, look, this is still my guy. You're going to have to give him a shot. You know, if and when it doesn't work out, I will give you the keys to drive this car wherever you want, and you can figure it out in your second year. If anything, it extends the GM's life a little bit because he says, hey, this first year is on me if you don't succeed. So if I'm a GM looking at that job, I'm saying, heck yeah, I'm buying a free year of job security. So yeah, I think he still has the locker room to a degree. That's why he's showing up to press conferences, you know, for his players and stuff. So I think he'll still be there.
One more for you guys. NFL overreaction or reality comes with a bonus. Either the
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Chiefs or the Chargers will miss the playoffs?
Reality.
Alec?
I gotta go reality as well.
Oh, well then the bonus question is this. NFL overreaction reality. For the first time in his career as a starting quarterback, Patrick Mahomes will not make the AFC Championship game.
AFC Championship game, too.
Every year of his career as a starter. That's crazy. Dude, he's like the anti-Cowboys.
I can't say that.
Oh.
All right, so I don't think the Colts are going to Colts it up this week. All right, so I think that's a win.
Okay.
Cowboys, I had the Cowboys winning this at the beginning of the season. I'm 50-50 right now.
Okay.
Texans are a tough team.
You better win that game,
but I think you can win that one. So that's potentially 3. Maybe the Cowboys tie the Chiefs. I think they beat the Chargers. They're beating the Titans. They're beating the Raiders. It's just the Chargers Broncos really on the rest of their schedule. Because I don't think that, I think they beat the Colts this
week. It feels like that Chargers game could be a playoff game.
They lose to the Colts this week. Go ahead and mark them out.
Ooh, okay. All right. For now, though, Alec, bonus overreaction reality. For the first time in his career as a starting quarterback, Patrick Mahomes will not make the AFC Championship game.
It's a reality.
Ooh.
I think they've dug too deep of a hole here for themselves. Like Corey said, they lose to the Colts, it's done. It's over, to quote Mike. I do think that there's a real chance that their hopes come to an end this week. But if they do make the playoffs, I just don't think they're built strong enough. Because it felt like for a while in some of those Super Bowl runs, they had depth upon depth upon depth at each position on either side of the ball. Now it feels like they've kind of got what they got and they are what they are.
How weird would it be if the Chiefs lost and the Cowboys won that Thanksgiving game? The Cowboys would have a better record at 5-5-1 than the Chiefs at 5-6.
Jeez.
That feels impossible.
That would be very Cowboys.
It really would.
On to hope for a minute.
It really would. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, as we move into the expressway, we will talk with our Dallas Stars insider, Robert Tiffin, plus the Campus Connection. What's the path for the Mean Green? Is Texas really out? And does Colorado have the right coach? All of it next right here on The Fan.
Zekas is with him. The shorthanded chance. Scores! How do you like that? Kyle Palmieri.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now we bring in our Dallas Stars insider, Robert Tiffin. And Robert, I'm very conflicted because I'm glad to have you on. But it's not the morning, so I feel like breakfast at Tiffin's doesn't work right here.
There's never a bad time for breakfast, I've always said.
I love that.
Nothing like a little rainy day bacon and eggs.
Can I tell you a shocking thing about my wife? She thinks that breakfast for dinner is stupid.
You know, everyone says that, but if you make them wait for dinner long enough, eventually they'll all come around.
That's an absolute fact right there.
That is, man, that is a really good point.
Now, as they're eating, it might be stupid, but I'm hungry.
I know there is a lot to talk about with this team and Tuesday night's game, and I know how it ended and everything like that, but also the Dallas Stars were missing half of their regular defensemen. That all being said, probably a couple of goals that Jake Oettinger would want back against the Islanders, right?
Yeah, it was a wild kind of game because you could talk about the goals that went in and how, yeah, a couple of those certainly aren't ones that Jake Oettinger is going to want to hang on the mantle. On the other hand, you know, from the Stars' perspective, you had not only the hit by Mika Rantanen on Alex Romanov, but Jason Robertson scored another two goals. He has 8 goals in his last 4 games after
and 3 assists.
16. Yeah. There's a reason he was first star of the entire NHL last week. I mean, he's as hot as he's ever been right now. And it's weird. It's a weird start to the season. That's the word I keep coming back to for the Stars because the record is great, right? They're 12-5-3. They're sitting at or, you know, top 5 in the league pretty consistently. They went from having a negative goal differential just a week ago to now having like the 6th best goal differential or 7th best in the league.
Wow.
Scoring 14 straight unanswered goals will do that, I guess. But it's weird. I completely understand people who are still kind of feeling like the other shoe hasn't dropped yet. On the other hand, when you have only 2 regulation losses and like 14 games or whatever, I think there's nothing wrong with making hay while the sun sets.
How unfair, Robert, is it of me to look at Jason Robertson and go, yeah, but let's see that in the playoffs? Like, I've loved his career, but in the playoffs he has these moments where I'm like, oh, no, it's not the same guy. Is that very unfair of me?
I don't think it's unfair because I have a hunch that that's something that Bill Guerin and some of the Team USA staff who are looking at picking players for the Olympics, I have to think that's in the back of their minds too. And even some of the rumblings that have come out about selection for camp are kind of that, you know, well, maybe, you know, early in the season or against the team's 3rd or 4th line, this is the sort of player who can score 80, 90, even 100 points plus. But how is he going to handle the pace that we saw at the Four Nations tournament? How is he going to handle, you know, the intensity of a game where every single player on the ice is checking really diligently and there's just no space out there? Is this the sort of player that can still do that? For the record, I'm kind of on record as saying that I think Jason Robertson is pretty underappreciated and that given enough time, I think he could pretty easily disprove that rep. But the fact is, he hasn't really done it. The only times he's really done it have been kind of short little streaks here and there. He's not the only Dallas Star. I think if you dig into someone like Roope Hintz's numbers, you'll also see that he hasn't necessarily been the most productive playoff performer in terms of goals either. And, you know, it's a small sample size, but I do think it's somewhat fair to have that hesitance about necessarily saying he can do this in May.
Okay, so that's I love this then because let's add on to it. We've been watching Mikko Rantanen. Looks like he's playing very physical, and like there have been moments where he clears space on his own.
Maybe too physical.
Hey, chill out on that right now. He and you know Bischel, big body. You know, we got some we got a couple guys that I feel like we're adding that element. They've always been a very skilled team, but the physicality once you get to the playoffs is something that I'm like, do you think that what Miko's doing can become contagious across the board for these guys?
I think that's a big part of the hope. And physicality is such kind of a buzzword that it means one thing to one person who thinks it means you have to fight. Another person might think it means you have to, lay a massive hit to another player. It might mean you win your battles along the boards and you're constantly coming out with the puck or at least preventing the other guy from getting past you, even if you don't win the puck. It really is a little bit situational. And that's kind of the way Glenn Goldson has talked about it too, since he's come in, that he does want the team to be more physical, but not to be, the phrase he keeps using is running around, chasing guys just to get those big hits or make those big plays. But when you have a player like Rantanen, who's as skilled as he is, I think I checked this morning and he's like tied for fifth in the NHL in points in scoring, and he's 11th in penalty minutes in the entire league.
Awesome.
As well. And some of those are from a couple of misconducts and, of course, the major penalty we saw against the Islanders. But there's a fair amount of kind of physical minors in there and him kind of just not taking guff from anyone. And I do think that that's a big hope, is that he's kind of leading by example. And when you have a team that, we saw it last year in the playoffs, Roope Hintz got his foot, he's fractured, we found out. They couldn't stop the bleeding for a couple of days. He missed a playoff game, and the Stars didn't really respond. And Pete DeBoer and his players, to their credit, kind of echoed what DeBoer was saying, didn't want them to overreact, I guess. They would have said they didn't want to necessarily go tit for tat. And I think the hope now is that they can find the balance and not overcorrect by getting so physical that they kind of go Anaheim, from 20 years ago or something. But I do think it's an element that they wanted to add. And Mikko Rantanen is such a unique player in the way he adds that, along with the skill and the scoring and everything else we've seen. He's a really special player.
Now, the NHL league office giveth and taketh away. I did not particularly agree with either of the decisions that Toronto made to overturn the goal. And then I have to admit, I was surprised that Miko did not get tagged with any suspension for that hit, even though I know there was contact behind him as well. That was a scary hit that could have turned out significantly worse.
Yeah, the context of the hit is really important to remember, because the Stars are, they're going all out there trying to get a tying goal in the final minute of the game. So he's barreling down the ice, basically, putting on the cape and trying to go superhero mode there. He's flying towards the end boards. He's huge. Anyone who's ever seen Rantanen can see how big he is. And then his skate gets clipped by Mayfield, the Islanders defenseman, who is also 11th in the league in penalty minutes, by the way. And they've been kind of doing that all night. That was part of their plan, kind of some of that old school kind of hold him up at the blue line, a little that one-minute interference type penalties to slow him down. And this time it went horribly wrong. You got a stick on Rantanen and his skate. It throws Rantanen off his edges, and Rantanen, you can see him lose control and kind of start to spin. And then he extends his arms with, even Rantanen says, it was a push. He did push Romanov. And obviously that exacerbated the hit, but because Rantanen had lost his balance, he's also, we talked to him about this yesterday at practice, and Rantanen said, I'm going into the boards there after the contact with the defenseman with Mayfield. So some of this is just instinctive, but admittedly said, that's not the best play. So that's the league. That was the league's perspective as well, that there's enough there that was not in his control to where the five game and the misconduct, even though there's only 30 seconds left in the game, that was enough of a penalty in the moment. It reminded me a little bit of the Mark Stone hit on Miro Heiskanen. Where Stone's skate gets clipped by Roope Hintz. And so he's a little off balance, but he still can do enough to lunge, and that's of course what we know caused the severe damage to Heiskanen's knee. Stone got, I think, a tripping penalty on the play. They didn't even call a major to review it, which DeBoer was kind of annoyed about at the time. So at least call the major, because then you're allowed to look at the video, and then maybe they would have called a more severe penalty. But the league didn't suspend Stone for that hit either, despite the horrible result. So I do think there's an element in the league where if some of it's out of your control, they really don't love suspending the player if there's a reason to basically say, well, he didn't really want to do anything malicious. And of course, Rantanen doesn't have, any disciplinary history, so that helps as well. Do you want to talk about the goal call back too?
So the thing about the goal that I was a little surprised by is the call on the ice was goal. Like, I thought whatever.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The call on the ice would have been, probably would have been backed up by the league. So once again, I have to admit, I was surprised that Toronto made the decision to flip that call.
Yeah, and Gullison, to your credit, Gullison said exactly the same thing as you did after the game. He said, because the call on the ice was goal, we thought it was, you know, kind of marginal, borderline, whatever you want to call it, close enough to where there wasn't enough evidence to overturn it. Obviously, there was. I have to admit, in the moment, part of me was kind of thinking, you know, they just saw a player get absolutely trucked into the end boards and taken off, you know, with a lot of help. He was able to get mostly upright, you know, bent over, but he was able to get off the ice without having to be taken off on a stretcher. And now you see a goalie get knocked out of the play. You know, Robertson, all you kind of see in the moment is him flying to the goalie and send Riddick flying. And then a goal gets put in with literally the last tenth of a second in the game. So you kind of felt like if there's any possible way they can find to you know, wave that off and just end the game and say, let's go home, boys. There's been enough that's gone on in the last 28 seconds. They were going to find it. The one thing I did hear after the fact is that their Robertson's stick, if you go back and look, that does precede him into the crease.
Yep.
Maybe does start to impact the goaltender as well. And I believe from some of the things I've heard, that actually was a primary point in their decision. Because obviously you see Robertson
Ooh.
Does get hit by Pulock, I think. but the stick getting in there first may have actually been the bigger issue. Because, of course, Robertson does get pushed in later. But the stick does go in before anyone forces it to. And that, I guess, is part of their decision there. So rough one. I kind of thought that it was a 50-50 shot, but given everything that happened, probably, you know, maybe that's a little bit of karma after 28 seconds earlier with the hit. So, you know, what are you going to do? Their second regulation loss in 14 games.
Right.
I think the Stars are still okay.
We all have our own opinions about the players all the time. And Jamie Benn, there was a lot at the end of that season last year that was like, oh, taking some jabs at him here and there. How much of a lift, though, and how meaningful is it for him to be in that locker room and out there with those guys?
There's no one in that locker room that sets the tone and that other players, like, physically look to and look at when he's in the room, like Jamie Benn. He is very much the captain. You know, he's been there. It's hard to remember. He's been there since before Glenn Gullison was hired
yeah.
the first time. He's,
yeah.
he's been playing on the team.
Oh, man, that's
he played
crazy.
With Mike Madonna. He played with Mike Madonna, the guy who was a statue. Jamie Benn was a line mate of his. The guy who was a statue out there. This is a player who, the way he links eras, I mean, no one else, there's no one else in the league, right, who has overlap with someone who played for the Minnesota North Stars. Jamie Benn has that. He is the longevity combined with the type of player he is. And again, he's only 36, right? He's younger than I am, which is crazy. But he means so much to this team, to this franchise. And just seeing him back, I know he's excited to be back. Even yesterday at practice, you could see it was an optional practice. A lot of players weren't out there, but Jamie Benn was. And I think he's a lot happier than I've seen him in a while. Just there's a lift, both because of how excited he is to be back. And that is very much contagious on the bench.
And the
they look to him. They really
yeah.
do.
The last thing I was kind of curious about, I'm glad that he is back as well, but how much longer can the Stars kind of continue to thrive throughout a continuous string of injuries?
So I had an interaction with Jamie Benn yesterday where I mentioned to him, I said, we up in the press box just couldn't believe that you all came back down and even scored that tying goal, even though it was called back. You know, there's the penalty on Mikko. You're down a man. You're taking a defensive zone draw. And somehow you execute a play to send four guys down the ice. You get Ottinger off. You somehow win the puck. You somehow score. It was just unbelievable to us. Have you ever seen that before? And after a second, Jamie Benn looks at me and says, well, maybe you need to start believing in us a little more.
Whoa!
I will say, there was a smile there, too. There was definitely a smile there. But I will say, you know what? Injuries are no. At this point, they've been dealing with it all season. You know, Matt Duchene's only played four games. Noah Lundqvist only four games. Ben only one game. Thomas Harley's out. They're, you know, like you said at the start, half their defense core was a healthy scratch or in the minors at the start of the season right now. And now they've just rolled off one of the best stretches we've seen in the last, even under DeBoer, over the last few years. These last 14 games have just been unreal. So I don't know. Maybe we just need to start believing in them a little more, because by all accounts, it doesn't make complete sense, but it's hard to deny what they've been doing.
Well, Robert, one day we'll tell you our story, our interaction with Jamie Benn, where he may have wanted us to believe in him a little more too.
And so, we definitely caused him to get a penalty in that game. We'll tell you that story at another time. Man, thank you so much. And if you're loving this, starsthoughts.com, starsthoughts.com is where you can get all this information from Mr. Tiffin. Robert, we appreciate your time. Good, sir.
Anytime, guys. Always a good time.
There you go. Robert Tiffin right here on 105.3 The Fan. And again, starsthoughts.com, because I know we have them on like maybe every other week or something like that, but you can get that content every single day for him. Now, we're going to change to something completely different. If you can go ahead and give me cut number 8, please, Alec. It is time for the Campus Connection.
The Dogs punch it in. Bowens is the back. Gunner zips it. End zone. Touchdown a second time. It's Noah Thomas.
Now, Carter, thank you very much for joining us for this segment.
What's up, guys?
You could probably tell by that clip, there's something very specific that I want to talk about to start this. Texas got just hammered by Georgia, and I don't want to hear the, it was the fourth quarter. They were always going to lose that game, and they were always going to lose that game emphatically. They get hammered by Georgia, and I know everyone's like, well, that's it. But is it? Is Texas really out? Now, I would love for your answer to be yes, because Texas A&M is going to beat them 56-0. But in reality, I think it is a valid question. Is Texas really out of the playoff picture?
I don't think you can say they are.
I don't think so either.
And I'm just looking at last year, where Alabama was 9-3, and going into the final ranking, the rankings for the teams to get into the CFP, the debate was still between an SMU team that had just barely lost a conference title game versus an Alabama team that was 9-3 that had lost some terrible games, but because they'd beaten a Georgia, because they'd beaten an LSU that year, they were still in the conversation.
And for Texas, it's going to be Oklahoma that's on there, and then potentially
Texas A&M. That's what you'd be relying on. So if you're a Texas fan this week, you are USC's biggest fan, because you need them to knock out Oregon, and you need a lot of those other teams that could end the season in the 10-2 to 11-1, whatever it may be, 9-3 range. You need them to start dropping games. Vanderbilt has to lose to Tennessee. There's just, because they lost now, there's so much that has to happen for Texas to end up being in that spot. And look at where the committee ranked them. They dropped them from 10 to 17.
Right.
They're behind a ton of teams right now. So they would have to vault. They would have to vault above Miami. They'd have to vault above, you know, whoever wins the, you know, the second team in the ACC. There's just going to be a lot that has to happen, but I don't think it's completely out of the question, even if myself, looking at them as a three-loss team, I don't think any three-loss team should be in the playoff.
So, kind of a similar question for the path ahead for UNT, because there was a time you look back when they lost their marquee showdown game, it felt like, oh, that's probably a wrap. I would assume Tulane is at the top of the list of teams you want to lose for the Mean Green moving forward.
They need to. UNT's most likely going to be the second-ranked team in the American. So for by that standard, if Tulane and UNT are ranked at the end of the season, they'll play for the American title game. Like, that's how the American takes their conference title game participants, is if they're ranked in the CFP poll, right? Because they want them to be ranked. They want them to be seen, recognized by more people, get them into the CFP eventually, right? If UNT wants to host that game, you need Tulane to lose another game. But UNT just needs to keep winning. Then they can participate in that game, still have a chance to knock off Tulane, because beating Tulane would probably be a better win than beating Navy again, because that's the other team they could end up facing in the American title game. So UNT, it's still just keep winning and just hope and pray that James Madison, who is, I think, 10-1 right now, doesn't get ranked in front of you. Because that's your other contender at the Group of Five level. They only have one loss, and it's to Louisville. Otherwise, they've been awesome this year. So UNT, just keep winning. And right now, with Tulane being the only ranked team from the Group of Five in the CFP poll, I think that's good, because that tells you the committee really respects the American Conference. And if you win that conference, which UNT has a very good shot to do, they will be the Group of Five representative.
Now, honestly, I was just about to ask you that. How would you see a potential matchup between them and Tulane? Obviously, victory, Corey.
Obviously.
I like it a lot more now than I would have maybe a month ago.
Tell me why.
Because you lose that game to South Florida and you look awful doing it if you're North Texas. But everything they've done since then has told me they've learned from that and they've recovered from it. They didn't let that bump in the road stop them. Like, look at Memphis. Memphis was the hot team in the American. Then they lost to USF and they lost again last weekend to Eastern Carolina. UNT, admittedly, they've played some of the lesser teams in the American, but they're beating the crap out of them, right? It doesn't matter. You can only play who's on your schedule, and UNT's looking the part of a team that could go up against one of the more premier teams in the American, and they've already done it against Navy. So
yes,
that gives me a lot more faith, even if they have to go on the road to play Tulane, that they can still, you know, put up a fight and beat them.
Now, we're going to, obviously, as we usually do in this segment, we're going to bounce around a little bit. I wanted to go back to Texas A&M and the fact that they're...
Big matchup this week. Samford.
Yeah. And their public information officer, whoever's running the show there, is just not good at this, because right before the press conference, after they made their amazing comeback against South Carolina, they said, hey, don't ask about the contract extension, because that's what media people usually respond
for
well
Reed?
To.
For Marcel Reed?
No, not... No, for Mike Elko.
The old NIL extension.
Yeah, but you've talked about it. So putting aside that they dropped the ball on that, getting the new deal done with Elko will make him one of the top five highest paid coaches in college football. From everything you've told us and everything we've talked about with changing the culture there at A&M, I would assume you're a huge fan of this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to have concerns about it, it's his second year there. So,
well, it's not like Texas A&M has ever run into this problem before with Kevin Sumlin and Jimbo Fisher, and it feels like pretty much everyone. Who's
glad you brought those up. Yeah. But again, what Kevin Sumlin did and what Jimbo Fisher did doesn't seem as sustainable as what Elko is currently doing.
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting, because Elko was rumored for Penn State because he's a Northeastern guy. Well, who the hell's Penn State going to hire now? You saw James Franklin go to Virginia Tech, so that's locked and loaded, which I actually think that's a really good hire.
I don't like James Franklin, that's why.
Okay.
I just don't think he's that good.
Okay.
I think he's a lot better than what Virginia Tech has been putting out. I mean, even since the end of the Frank Beamer era, the floor of that program has sunk so low that even if James Franklin isn't going to bring them to national championships, he win games against top five opponents, one, you're not going to play him as often in the ACC, but two, he'll raise the floor of Virginia Tech's program so much higher than it already was. And the school seems like they're willing to invest in the program now, which they weren't for a long time. So if you're going to invest in James Franklin, and I've been saying this too, he dominated Virginia recruiting when he was at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
So we can keep all those, and not that Virginia's Texas, but there's still a lot of good players in that state. Keep them in state, you're automatically going to have a much better, you know, talent base you're working with. So I think that's a great fit for him.
I mean, he'll definitely brighten things up around there. That dome, once the light hits that dome, it gets shiny. You know,
so enter
I did
Bald
not
Man
see that.
Instead of enter Sandman.
Okay, I like it. Now, we kind of quick hit Indiana on Tuesday. So I want to go back to Indiana as well. And part of the reason, Carter, and I know you're understanding this, the reason why we keep going back instead of forward is it's Cupcake Weekend. So especially for the SEC. There are not as many captivating matchups.
Oh, you got Missouri, dude. What are you talking about? Missouri's ranked 22, and they got Mickey Spagnuolo on their side.
And Brad Sham.
That game in USC and Oregon, I definitely admit, are intriguing. But I want to talk about Indiana, 11-0 for the first time in program history. And Fernando Mendoza, he set another program record. 30 touchdowns. This feels like a magical season for Indiana. Are they firmly entrenched as your second best team in college football? I mean, I know that's the rankings say, but what do you say?
Yes. This is tough. Look, both A&M and Indiana have had their moment where you're like, okay, the ride's over, and they've both managed to, you know, overcome that and stay undefeated. I'll give a slight edge to Indiana right now just because their deficit they put themselves in against Penn State wasn't as shocking as the one that A&M did.
Right.
But again, both of them came back. So the margins are very narrow. But sure, Indiana, outside of that Penn State game, has been excellent all season long. And they've got Purdue to end their season, would be the upset of the century if Purdue beats them. You know, Purdue hasn't beaten a Power 4 team since 2023.
What?
They've been awful. They have been a special kind of awful for a long time. But then you get the potential, you know, undefeateds in the Big Ten title game, if, assuming Ohio State wins out, which, look, they play Michigan, so it's not a given. But that would be for the one seed probably in the country in the CFP. And even then, if Indiana loses that, I still think they're a top four seed. I think they get a bye.
Okay. Does that take any steam out of that game?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's two undefeated teams. Like that's what, and that's going to be one versus two, right?
No.
That's what you want.
I hear you. But what is the consequence of winning? You get to be the number one seed versus you still get a bye anyway?
You win the Big Ten. And I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care
I hear you.
You can, there's been a lot of talk about it's better for Georgia, who's
to not be in the SEC championship.
Don't you think the players would still want to say they're SEC champions? Don't you want to think they'd say they're Big Ten champions?
I'm not being sarcastic, Carter.
We can hem and haw in the media all about that.
I'm not disputing you. I don't know.
Well, if you don't want to play in that game, if you want a bye more than you want to win a ring or a championship or whatever may have you, then you're not going to go far, in my mind, in the real thing.
I got you.
I understand it's another game. You could have a big injury that affects you in that game. That happened to Notre Dame in their first game of the CFP last year. They lost like two starting defensive linemen against Indiana, and they still went all the way on to the CFP final. Like, I just think you should want to play in those things because that maybe it's antiquated because that's been the way the sport's been forever, sure. But I think conference titles still matter, personally.
Now, Corey, you brought up Oklahoma does have an important game this weekend, especially coming off a playoff-saving performance against Alabama.
It was a really fun game.
How are y'all feeling going into the Missouri game, knowing that Oklahoma is in another situation where they need to keep winning or else they're out?
These last two games are not givens. I wouldn't think they are, Corey. I mean, it's Mizzou and LSU. Mizzou's 7-3. They're ranked, like you said. And then LSU, I understand that they've not had the season they want, but that's still LSU. And a lot of the players that were on last year's team beat you by 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have so much faith in this defense. Like, just complete faith in the defense is getting better, it feels like.
They're finally forcing turnovers.
Yeah, I have no clue what this offense is.
I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
They don't attack down the field, which is really frustrating as a fan to watch the couple times they did that against Alabama. Guess what? It was either a completion or it was a penalty.
Yeah.
And they just don't do it as much as they want. Their running backs are banged up right now, which is concerning because they can barely run the ball as is.
Right.
So if your two top players are out, then it's like, okay, the John Mateer running plays haven't worked as well lately as they did early in the season. So you're going to rely a lot on his arm, but the offense made the right plays at the right time, you know, and like you said with the defense, I really trust them. They gang tackle as well as OU's tackled in 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And they're finally forcing turnovers, like I said. They had four through their first eight games. They've had six in their last two, and they've all been timely as well. And against Alabama, they forced a fumble they didn't recover, and they had an interception that got called back because of a play that didn't have anything to do with the interception. So they're finally figuring out how to turn the ball over, and if they can continue to do that, then, I mean, watch out, because that defense can play with just about anybody.
They can.
And if they're getting turnovers and getting short fields, you have one of the best kickers in the country, and if the offense even figures out one iota of how to move the ball, you're looking at one of the biggest wild cards it could potentially be in the CFP.
We have three different directions we could go to close this out. Question about Alabama, question about Wake Forest, or Carter's choice.
Carter's choice.
Oh, wakey wakey.
All right. Did Wake Forest make the best hire of this last cycle?
Dickert was a huge, he was a great leader at Washington State. Like, he was awesome there. And the situation didn't work out because Mateer and Arbuckle, the OC, left for OU. So then he goes to Wake Forest, which is a solid ACC job. That is what it got turned into with Dave Clawson there for a long time. And it has been surprising. They nearly beat Georgia Tech earlier this season. There was a controversial call at the end of that game.
Yes.
Could have handed them the win. They would have had 8 wins. But yeah, for them to be bowl eligible, and Wake Forest has turned into a good job, but it's still not like a Miami or a Florida State. The resources might not be what you want it to be, but Jake Dickert has been awesome there. I mean, it's a low-key hire because it's Wake Forest and because of where he came from, but 100%. And when last week he played another new hire, Bill Belichick. Who do you think is happier with their situation right now?
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. And then are there any other games, we mentioned USC and Oregon, that you think we should keep an eye out on or you're keyed in on this weekend?
It's 100% Oregon and USC. I mean, that's where game day is. And then for USC, if they win that game, they have UCLA after that. And you got to think, a 10-2 USC who's beaten Oregon on the road, they're probably making the CFP. And can I interest you guys at all in USC at Oklahoma as a potential CFP first round game?
Obviously, I would love to see that.
I will do everything in my power to be in Norman, Oklahoma for that game if that ends up happening.
Where can people hear you on Saturday?
Fan University here 9 to noon. And, you know, all the games we talked about today, we'll preview them. We've got Carter's Corner, Baxter Class, Jake's Take. I mean, look, we're in crunch time. These are some of the big games to kind of finally get this CFP all figured out. They're happening this weekend, and we got it all covered for you.
I love it, and thank you, as always, for jumping on with us as well.
Love you, buddy.
Love you, too.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, time for the C-Block, starring Corey Majors.
We can talk Mavericks, or we can talk cryogenics, mermaids, and whammo.
I mean, you know what I'm picking.
Next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.